And a good morning to you. It's 8:36, sunny skies, 22 degrees in downtown Bartlesville. Time once again for a community connection on K1, the one you trust, being brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. Our guest today is Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskett Jr. We have him on the phone today. Sir, how you doing?
Garrett, I'm doing well. Yourself?
Oh, you know, I can't complain one bit. The sun is shining. I just wish it was as warm as it was yesterday.
It's like springtime, but good to be with you, sir.
Good to be with you as well. Thank you for joining us for your monthly podcast on K1. A lot of great things happening with the Cherokee Nation, including that McGirt case. What can you tell us about that, sir?
Well, you know, that case, Garrett, is important for everyone. And so the McGirt case is about which government has jurisdiction over particular criminal offenses. The Supreme Court in July 2020 recognized that the reservations of the five tribes, which includes the Cherokee Nation, never went away. Now, that had some immediate implications for how criminal justice is administered across the region. So that affects everybody. Governor Stitt went back to the Supreme Court asking them to reconsider that decision. The Supreme Court said they wouldn't even take the case up. That's important because it reaffirms something that I think is really critical for the country here in the 21st century, which is that the United States ought to keep its promise to Indian tribes. I mean, that's what McGirt was about in the first place, was the promises in those treaties were worth keeping, and I think they are worth keeping, and the Supreme Court agreed. We've got to move forward now. Now, one aspect of the case that is still before the Supreme Court is also very important. So as people have maybe followed the news over the weekend, trying to sort of sort through why one case was taken up and the other case was rejected, here's the issue. The issue is whether the state might have what we call concurrent jurisdiction over certain cases. So, Garrett, if a non-Indian commits a crime against an Indian within our Cherokee reservation, right now the law is that the federal government, the United States Department of Justice, would prosecute that case, and the state would not. What the state is asking is, can't we, the state, also have jurisdiction? The court's going to have to take that up. So there's more news to come on McGirt, but I think the most important thing for people to understand is that they've got governments, the state government, the federal government, and tribal governments working very hard to create this blanket of protection over the region, because we all have to work together on criminal justice, and I think we're really doing that in very real ways.
And I guess the question is how do you guys continue to work towards kind of a consensus with this McGirt case? It's been around for over a year now, and there always seems to be something that you guys want to hash out, but how do you continue to build that relationship moving forward down this road?
Well, the most important part of what you're saying is working together, and that's so important. That really comes in a lot of different forms, and it usually takes the form of things that don't make the headlines. And so every day you've got members of our marshal service picking up the phone, calling their counterparts at the county sheriff's office or the police department in this community or that community. You have our prosecutors talking to district attorney's offices about cases that need to be transferred over. You've got Cherokee Nation presently with over 100 agreements with communities that deal from things like cross-deputization or sharing traffic ticket revenue and working at a process for traffic tickets to be seamlessly administered. Those things aren't very exciting, Garrett. They don't make the headlines. They don't make opinion columns. They don't make Facebook posts or anybody's Twitter feeds, but they're the real hard work of working together. And I just want people to know that that goes on every day. Now, issues that do come up from time to time typically are very unusual criminal cases, very unusual criminal cases. Those do make the headlines, but certainly where something fails, where communication is not good, that'll make the headlines. It's just not the norm, though, Garrett, and people should understand that day to day, things are working well. The challenges, though, are really one of a resource challenge. The Cherokee Nation has to commit a tremendous amount of resources to build up a criminal justice system here, and it's not even been a year yet since we've been at this at Cherokee Nation. So we've had to do in a year what the state's had 113 years to do. But we're putting all sorts of resources into making sure that nothing falls through the cracks. It just continues to require us to work together. I think we're doing that well. But I think the time is to move on past some of the more heated rhetoric that we've seen, because we've got to get our jobs done.
And you're talking about what makes the headlines and what doesn't make the headlines. And normally what you were referring to is, it seems like the negative, or what people deem as negative, makes more of the news. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that naturally the media has a curiosity about this issue, which is a good thing. Often the way to give the limited amount of attention that the media can give to any particular story is to focus on the one that I think gets the most readership. And I think if you hear about a criminal defendant being released, if you hear about somebody that was prosecuted being having their case moved to another court, I mean, that causes some anxiety among the public, and that's understandable, and there should be some scrutiny on that. So I think that's the reason it gets attention. But I think our jobs as leaders is to point out what I just pointed out here in our interview, which is that there's so much work going on that may not seem very exciting, but it's really important, and that's the day-to-day work of picking up the phone and saying, hey, we've apprehended this criminal defendant, and we need you to pick him up and take him to the Cherokee Nation court. I mean, those things aren't real exciting, but I think it's our job in leadership just to keep pointing those out. Eventually, the major headlines that cause a lot of anxiety, those will subside. We'll start to get into an era in which people just understand that there are three jurisdictions in the state: tribal, state, and federal.
Talking with Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. on a Community Connection today, being brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. Sir, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about with the citizens about McGirt?
Well, just stay tuned. There's always more information coming out on McGirt, but we're committed to making sure that people are protected. That's all. I just want to make sure people understand.
It's 8:43, 22 degrees. We have sunny skies in downtown Bartlesville. We'll take a quick break. We'll have more with Chief Hoskin Jr. coming up next.
Maybe this is the year that you resolve to purchase a headstone for that family member that has been without one. Or maybe you've resolved to take care of prearranging your own funeral service so your family won't have to make decisions at a difficult time. Whatever the need is, Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home and Cremation Service has been there helping Green Country families for almost 100 years. Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home, Bartlesville's finest funeral home.
Continuing with a Community Connection on this Tuesday morning. Hopefully things are going well for you so far. It's 8:44. Community Connection this hour being brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. And again, we have Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. on the phone with us this morning. Talked a little bit about McGirt. And Chief, what can you tell us about the ongoing pandemic and how the Cherokee Nation is responding to that?
Well, with Omicron, we're all suffering across the region and across the country and even around the world. So here closer to home, we're trying to combat that, number one, by encouraging people to take the vaccines. And I just want to do that directly. Yeah, people should take the vaccine. They should take the booster. They should take it when they're eligible to do so. It's readily available. Cherokee Nation makes it available to everyone, whether you're a Native American or not. In fact, you don't have to drive too far from your studio there in Bartlesville to find our Oshaleda Health Center, which is the closest one in Washington County, but we've got facilities across the region. So we're making the vaccine available because it's our best weapon against this dreaded disease. We've hit, our 100,000th vaccine last Friday, which we're very proud of. But what is discouraging is that the numbers across the region are just not what public health experts think they need to be in terms of the vaccine uptake. Right now, I can tell you that our health system, our hospital, when it gets full, and of course that number ebbs and flows, Garrett, but when it gets full, and it's full a lot lately, it's due to unvaccinated patients needing the kind of critical care that you need when you contract this virus and don't have the protection of the vaccine. And I know people start to get weary of constant discussions of vaccines and things of that nature, but it's so important. I mean, Sunday night here, I got a call from a citizen who, an elderly man who knew his wife needed to be transferred to another hospital. She needed some critical care. She was not a COVID patient. She couldn't get transferred because the Tulsa hospitals were reaching maximum capacity because of COVID patients. Now, that just shows you the domino effect when you have a spike in infection due to the variant and not enough people with a vaccine, because the folks that were filling up that hospital, frankly, were folks who did not take the vaccine. That's pretty clear. So I just want to reiterate what people hear a lot, but I feel obligated to speak out, which is we need people to take that vaccine. So that's what we're doing is vaccination, but we're doing other things. I mean, in our workforce, which is considerable, we're testing twice a week whether you're vaccinated or not. And what I have found is that we have ran across a number of employees. You know, we have 4,000 some odd government employees alone. We've run across a number who are asymptomatic, no symptoms, but test positive. We're able to keep them out of the workplace and protect their coworkers, protect the citizens that come in. That's another strategy that we're using is testing. Hopefully, testing, vaccinations, we continue to social distance and wear masks in our workplace, and we keep our public events to the extent we have any very, very small. Hopefully those strategies, Garrett, will help us get through this difficult time. I just have this optimism that we'll get through Omicron and we'll start to, as a region and as a country, be in better shape and be in a safer posture. But we're doing our best.
And not wanting to freak anyone out, I know the news has said that there could be other variants of COVID in the future, but what's kind of your message of hope? I know you've kind of hinted at it a little bit here on Community Connection this morning, but what would your message of hope be for people that may not see a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think they should feel encouraged by the fact that as a country and even as a world, we moved heaven and earth to get a vaccine in record time and that the vaccine is working. I mean, as difficult as it is and as discouraging as it is, when I think about in all of human history, there's never been a vaccine that's come available as quick as this one did. And that doesn't have anything to do with who's president or which party's in charge, because we actually had two different presidents over the course of this fight. And I think there's been so many people that have been responsible for this amazing vaccine. And that's what it is. It's an amazing thing. And it actually has saved so many lives and will save lives into the future as we continue to develop and refine the vaccine. So I find hope in that scientific achievement and how speedy it was. And I think that even as variants come up, we have expertise around the world, including at Cherokee Nation, that's going to help us continue to use vaccines and other public health measures to keep us safe. So I have a great deal of confidence in it because I think we've come a long way in a very short period of time.
You know, I know the Cherokee Nation has been administering the vaccines. You guys have provided masks throughout the pandemic, and you're talking about providing testing as well. What other resources has the Cherokee Nation been able to offer during this crisis mode that we've been in?
Well, you're right that the mask and the vaccines and those sorts of things have been important. We've addressed food security where we needed to across the region, and often it's providing food to everyone. But we focus, of course, on our elders and providing food in communities where if people are locked down or if we tell elders, hey, you need to stay in, telling them they need to stay in is telling them they can't go to the grocery store. So we have to supplement in some way. And we've done that through food donations. We've also done it by investing some of the federal resources we've gotten into long-term sustainability. That's investing in healthcare and education, job training, things of that nature, because the economy has been affected by COVID. But we've also directed some cash assistance to our citizens. And so last year we issued payments of $2,000 to each citizen, which has helped them with their own struggles in the economy. So those are the different strategies and resources we've employed. I feel like we've done our part, but we've got to stay vigilant. We've got to make sure that this healthcare system that served us so well in the Cherokee Nation stays here and stays strong for the next generation. So that means the new hospital we're building and upgrades we're making to various clinics, including that clinic in Oceleda, by the way. We're doing an expansion there. So those are the sort of things we've got to keep doing, short-term and long-term efforts to help people.
Speaking with Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskett Jr. on a Community Connection this morning. Chief, is there anything else that people should know about that's in regards to the Cherokee Nation, what you guys are able to accomplish or what you're doing currently?
No, Garrett, we've covered a lot today, but just people can stay connected on this station. They can stay connected on our social media at the Cherokee Nation and at our website, cherokee.org.
That was a Community Connection being brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home today. Chief Hoskin, thank you for joining us this morning on that show.
Thank you, Garrett.
It's 8:52. Coming up next, we have ONN News. And then we'll have the Overcomers being brought to you by Brian Little, Haley, and Kent CPAs.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mashunkashe, account representative.